A traveler became lost in an unnamed desert. Realizing his only chance of survival was to find civilization, he began walking. Time passed and he became very thirsty. More time passed and he became feeling faint. Reduced to crawling, he was on the verge of passing out when he spied a small shack about 500 meters in front of him. Barely conscious, he reached the shack and called out, "Water, please, I need water." An old man appeared at the door of the shack and replied sympathetically, "I'm sorry, sir, but I have no water. However, would you like to buy a tie?" With this, he brandished a collection of exquisite silken neckwear. "You fool," gasped the man. "I'm dying. I need water." "Well, sir," replied the old man, "if you really need some water, there's another shack about 2 kilometers south of here where you can get some." Without knowing how, the man summoned sufficient strength to drag his parched body the distance to the second tent. With his last ounce of strength, he tugged at the door of the second shack and collapsed. Another man, looking enough like the old man to be his brother, appeared at the door, dressed in a costly tuxedo. Looking down at the crumpled mass at his door, he inquired, "May I help you, sir?"
"Water,"
came the feeble reply. "Oh, sir," replied the man, "I'm sorry, but you can't come in here without a tie." Sometimes we cry out and we don't recognize that what we are being provided is actually what we need to be provided. Our scriptures today remind us of the importance of water in our lives. When the Hebrew people were wandering in the desert where water is precious and scarce resource, we are told that the people thirsted for water, and they mumbled and they grumbled and they complained because they were afraid. Have you ever noticed the people of God always mumble and grumble and complain when we are most afraid, don't we? And they were afraid because they knew people can only survive without water for 3 days. And so they asked the question that we would all ask when we are afraid and thirsting: is the Lord among us or not? It is a key question that we humans tend to ask when we are in crisis. I know I've asked it, and I'm sure you have asked it. The Hebrew people asked that question because they feel as if they have been abandoned. They have left the familiar, even if it's a place of slavery. Led by Moses into an unknown and unfamiliar land with unfamiliar people, unfamiliar culture, an unfamiliar world, feeling as though they have been left to die, wandering for a place to belong in the wilderness. Our world is in a water crisis now because 97.5% of the water on this planet is salt water, and only 2.5% of the water on our planet is fresh water. And of that 2%, it's locked in glaciers and frozen, leaving 0.5% of the world's fresh water to be divided up for our agricultural use around the world, our industrial use, our recreational use, and our personal use. And so we need to be appreciative of fresh water we have and do everything we can to protect it and conserve it and develop creative ways of stop polluting it, creative ways of cleaning it and treating it and distributing it. And that's why Mark Angelo put out a call to people in BC to clean up the Thompson River and then asked the BC government to declare a BC Rivers Day on the second Sunday in June. And because of social media, Mark Angelo inspired people around the world who got on board. And now there is a World's River Day on the last Sunday in September. And over 60 countries around the world are celebrating it today, as we are, because we believe, we realize that it is going to take the awareness of the water crisis and the creative imagination and care and commitment of the whole world to help solve our water shortage on the planet. And so today, that's why we're celebrating the beautiful gift of water on this planet. And we're recommitting ourselves to the care and conservation of it, because we can't survive more than 3 days without it. And as one young man said to me, who is a massage therapist and giving me a massage, this is many moons ago in Banff, he was doing iridology on me and he was looking at my health. And he said, "You are very healthy. You must drink a lot of water." And upon which I confessed that I don't drink nearly enough. And he said, "You know, that's a shame." Because he said, "Well, people don't realize it, but water is a magical medicine. It has incredible healing properties. It not only gives us life, but it is our filter system, and its daily use helps to maintain our overall health because we are made up of so much water." And so, like the Hebrew people who wander in an unfamiliar territory, we ask God for help also. As God provided the gift of water to Moses, and Moses tapped a rock, supposedly by a spring, and out of the water, out of the rock, came the necessary water gushing out of the rock for the people to drink. And the people were relieved and grateful that the water was there, a spiritual sign to them that they had not been abandoned. All of us on this planet thirst not only for water, clean water, but we thirst to have our spiritual longings quenched also. We thirst for acceptance and a safe place to belong. And so when the woman from Samaria came to the well that day at noon, looking for water at the well, she met Jesus, who had also come to the well, because he was also thirsty and looking for water to drink. And both of them, Jesus and the woman of Samaria, both stepped out of their comfort zone. They both stepped out of their cultural norms and risked speaking together with a person of a different gender, a different culture, a different religion. And as Jesus took the time to listen to her and to see her without judgment of her five husbands, entered into a spiritual conversation with her about where God dwells. And because they both entered into a meaningful spiritual conversation, Jacob's well became a place of living water, quenching the longings of both their souls. And Jesus says to her, "If you knew who was asking for a drink, you would have asked me for a drink, and I would have given you living water. And this living water would bubble inside you so that you would never be thirsty again. You would be so satiated." And this woman said, "Give me this water that I never have to come to this well again." And this woman went away and she told her friends, "I met a person who looked inside my soul, who seemed to know all about my life and my five husbands. Could this be the anointed one of God? If so, then I must matter. God must have answered my longings, my thirstings." Because when we know for certain that we are seen and loved and cared for, accepted and valued by the one who made us, when we are finally at home with ourselves and at peace and acceptance of our own choices and experiences, that is living water, and our spiritual thirst is quenched. Our words are alive. They are powerful. The sound of them can harm us or heal us. Imoto Mazura was a Japanese author who set out to prove that human consciousness has an effect on the actual molecular structure of water, something that Delaine was teaching us earlier. He had come to believe that positive thoughts and words could have an impact on polluted water, and that polluted water could be cleaned through prayer and positive visualization. He wrote several volumes of a work entitled Messages from Water, which contained photographs of ice crystals and their accompanying words, whether negative or positive, on their molecular structure. We're just going to see this brief video of Imoto's work. If words written on a piece of paper can alter the molecular structure of water and make it beautiful and whole, or negative words, the water remains fractured and unstructured, just think how the power of our words can impact another human who's made up of 60 to 72% of water. Jesus' words of truth and insight and acceptance to the woman of Samaria at the well transformed her life and caused her to have within her spring of living water of hope. With the power of our own words and positive thoughts, how much could our positive commitment to the polluted world, water in our world, and to all the other humans surrounding us who are made up of so much water, be transformed also? We are all connected with all the water in creation, universe, one truth. I invite you this day to reflect on the words by another Japanese man who Shirlene Donnelly met a few years ago when she came across his poem, reminding us of the water that unites us all, entitled, "You Are the Rain," by Tatsuro Shigematsu, who was just visiting here in Qualicum a couple weeks ago. 72%. That's how much water is in your body. And that water has been around here on Earth for 4.5 billion years. That means the moisture in your breath was once at the center of a glacier during the Ice Age. In your frozen form, you carved valleys through unnamed mountain ranges. And as many an ancient text will attest, there was once a great flood. You rained for 40 days and 40 nights until this whole earth was blue. And on one fine summer day, you found yourself flowing down the River Jordan as you flowed into the linen of a Jew from Nazareth who would change the world. And on another day, a few years before you were born, you were a cloud. And a young girl studied your ever-changing face, wondering, what will my children look like? And on another day, in complete darkness, you were floating in an amniotic sea, the temperature of blood, dreaming to the rhythm of two heartbeats. And one day, your water, as you know it, will be no more. And if you were loved, maybe you will be the tears of someone who weeps for you, not because they're crying, but because they're laughing so hard at the memory of how pathetic you looked that time you got caught in the rain. And as they dab their cheeks, they'll stop to wonder, are you in heaven? When in fact, you've never been so near. And one day, far from now, when this blue planet is no longer blue, you will find yourself at the center of a comet, a dirty hunk of ice, tracing luminescent circles through the universe, and you will crash into a nascent world and become an ocean. Lightning will strike, and you will give rise to life, for you are the rain. We are all deeply connected to one another. Let us remember to reach out in positive ways to care for the waters, to care for one another. May it be so.